This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. As we have a chilly, chilly morning.
It is cold.
I'm not sure that we're ready for this this sort of stuff.
Colder than I anticipated it being.
And Lydia Roller, I'm glad that you're not running on a day like today. Aren't you?
I probably will.
Yeah.
It's the only way to stay warm.
That's true. Keep moving. In studio today, we have Lydia Roller, second place finish in the girls' Class A cross-country meet. Congratulations, by the way. That's a terrific. Only a sophomore at Staun High School. Her coach, Steve Moore, who we talked to last week on the sports program, has joined us in the studio. Plus, we have a host of other folks, family, friends, in the studio, in the lobby, listening to us this morning. And we want to talk a little bit about cross country, and of course about high school football. We've got, I guess we're going to be talking with Chad Easterday.
Yes, should be shortly.
Here. Okay, and you may want to make sure Tom has that phone number.
I'll go look for it.
Okay, and until we get to that point, we can tell you. Oh, he's got it. Okay, we can tell you we'll have the broadcast at 1:30 with the pregame show and the kickoff at 2:00 as Carlinville entertains Williamsville. You got the Sangamo, you got the South Central matched up again, and that's always a pretty good matchup.
This is like this will be the 12th matchup, I think, between the two conferences since like 2012.
Yeah, I think it's 6-5.
6-5 Sangamo.
Sangamo,
so
yeah.
It could be evened up today.
Yeah, there'll be 2,000 people at Carlinville today. They're freezing their rear ends off, but that doesn't make any difference.
Shut the town down.
They're going to have a terrific football game.
I would expect.
Cavaliers have been able to roll through just about everybody, but Williamsville is one of those programs that just, are always there, and they always have athletes.
They've got revenge on their mind, because
yes,
2 years ago they ended their run early.
Yeah, so. All right, until we catch up with Coach Easterday, let's talk cross country. Lydia, tell us about, as far as your mind is concerned, as you were preparing to run in the state cross country meet, what was going through your head?
Yeah, so I was pretty nervous, probably like the whole week up. I had to stay calm, that way I wouldn't race poorly. And I just kind of had to keep in mind that I'd ran all the miles, and so I was prepared for the race.
You say keep calm. Is there a certain thought process? Is there a certain thing you think about that keeps you on the calm side?
I tried not to think about it that much. I had a pretty busy week, so it kind of helped with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Coach Steve Moore, some words of advice did you share with her prior to the start?
Well, I think the year before she was All-State as a freshman, but the four-time champion had graduated, so nobody really knew who was going to emerge. And I think that added actually to how uptight she was before that race. So this year, I think she had the confidence that she knew she was kind of like a top three going in, and I just kept telling her, just trust your training. We had really tapered a little bit the week before, and she ran just an outstanding race at the sectional in Decatur and actually became our school's first sectional champion. And I said, hey, we basically had the same recipe the next week. This is your race. Well, we knew Argo was the favorite, but you're right in this mix. And I think she had more confidence, just the experience. Experience is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted. And so the year before, she really learned from that.
We talk about team sports, and there is a team aspect across country, but we talk about team sports like football, basketball, and as a head coach, you do what you do. I mean, there are small things you can do in postseason tournament play, maybe some tweaks, but basically you do what you do, and I guess it's the same way with running. Lydia, is that a correct assessment?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, how did you get interested in this particular sport? Tell us how you got started.
I'd say it was probably from our school 5K that we have. In fifth grade, we all kind of had to compete for a spot, and I got really competitive with that, and then I realized I like running, and then I ran track all through junior high, and I didn't really start getting super serious about my training until about eighth grade, and then after that, I went to a running camp, and that really, it sparked my interest, and so I started training a lot harder, and ever since that, I've loved it.
What was one of those aha things you learned at this training camp? Do you remember?
Yeah, I realized I wasn't putting in that many miles compared to everyone else. I realized that really I wasn't that fast in the whole state. So that really helped going into freshman cross-country season.
So you basically had a goal that you set for yourself to, number one, increase your miles, and number two, increase your speed, which to me would be an awful lot as a eighth grader or a freshman. That put a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Yeah, I try not to really like think about the rankings or anything like that, because that does put pressure on me, but I don't really let it affect me.
Okay. So you're just kind of a laid back kind of person, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Are
so.
You really? Somehow I don't know about that, Lydia. You seem like you're pretty competitive.
Yeah.
What sort of things do you discuss with Coach Moore here when you're in training and when you're in season?
We talk a lot about training, like my miles. A big discussion was about how I was going to taper, because I was kind of on a different schedule from the rest of the team, because my tapering was a week later than everyone else. So that was...
Explain to us what tapering is.
That's whenever I started cutting back my miles. I focused more on speed, and it was like a kind of a laid back week, I guess.
Okay. Which is the norm for somebody of her caliber, right?
So yeah, and you know, earlier she said she kind of doesn't let it bother her. This sport fits right into her personality. Uh-huh. She's a very particular person who she is able to go out and is self-driven and has a lot of initiative. And I told you last week on the air that this is a hard work and a mentally tough sport, and she's got that in spades. So, yeah. So I think it fits right in. She, of course, doesn't want to brag about that. But with the tapering, it was just, again, kind of some experience. Probably went a little too hard last year at the state, and we were able to assess that. And she had hit 50 miles at one point this year, and we trimmed it down to, 25, 30 mm-hmm. that last week, and just focused a little bit more on speed work. And a good thing that she learned at a camp and brought to the table is, I'm not going to worry about the other runners. I've got a time in mind, and if I go run that time, I've done what I can do. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think that was kind of a fair assessment. And that was good, and her time was outstanding. I think it would have won state like six of the last 10 years or something like that. So it was very impressive. It's the 10th best time in Class 1A history.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. For folks who have never experienced a cross-country meet at the state level, this is a pretty neat thing that goes on. And the one thing that I find that's so interesting is the fact that even though you're competitors, it's kind of a brotherhood, sisterhood kind of thing for people who compete at cross-country and track, for that matter.
Yeah, for sure. I really like how nobody's really just... Nobody's super competitive. Nobody's mean about
Nobody's
it.
Nobody's out to get you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And after this is all said and done, the competition said and done, you're probably, you know, talking to each other and hugging each other and complimenting each other and that sort of thing, which sometimes you don't see in sports.
Yeah, I really like that, especially on the starting line. Everybody says good luck to everyone. They look around and they all say that before every race, pretty much.
Yeah, that's great. Coach, as a coach, once the meet starts, what do you do, man, except worry and maybe bite fingernails or something? I don't know.
Yeah, that's where, you know, coming from the basketball sideline where I felt like I could have, you know, I could call timeout or call special play or get my, you know, top player a shot. I just take pictures and say, hey, run hard.
And that was probably hard for you to get used to.
It was, but it really, I told you last year, kind of breath of fresh air. It's, yeah. We always say the hay's in the barn, like the training was done that week, and now just go do it. And that's where, and you know this with area coaches, you get way too much credit when you have success and way too much blame and so now I'm getting too much credit. I mean, she's done this. If I can add a percent or two to, to her methods and whatever, then that's all I've done. I mean, it's all her and her hard work.
Well, you've got to have several things. You've got to have the talent, number one, you know, and you're obviously talented. You've got to have, you know, a good coach. I think that plays into it quite a bit, because the coach has to allow you to do what you can do. And then you got to have something called lady luck, you know, where you stay healthy, that sort of thing, where maybe, you know, the wind's not blowing 9,000 miles an hour one day and that sort of thing. So you put those three things together and generally good things happen. And a lot of people oftentimes just pick on one thing, as you were saying, right? I've had coaches had great seasons, and then the next year they tell me, well, they're going to see how stupid I really am now, you know, because I've lost all my talent. So I think coaches do make a difference, because I think since sports are through high school, through the schools, I think there's still an educational component to all this, Steve, that a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about that, of building culture. I mean, to be honest, with me not having a background in the sport, I'm playing catch up, and the South Central Conference has some phenomenal coaches, and that's not just me being cliche there. I mean, these guys know what they're doing, and so I feel like if I'm going to make things up, it's going to have to be more from the culture standpoint, providing a good, fun atmosphere, but also competitive atmosphere, not so much what you know or the X's and O's in other sports. But I will say, just kind of getting off topic a bit, this sport has way more press coverage in that than you would ever imagine. And she did 5 interviews within the first hour of getting off that course, and literally one in the first minute where she's about ready to keel over, like just ran a race of her life, and they were...
media guys, yeah. Man, we're just, you know,
know, just pulling at
her.
Have
a microphone in your face.
We know you can't breathe, but can you talk for us?
Yeah, and so... There's actually a lot more pressure, and I think there's a lot of assumptions made, like, wow, you're fast and you'll do this next year and that. And so she understands, like, better than anyone how the kind of work it takes. And so not only is she an extremely hard worker, but I think this year she became a smarter worker as well, and did things, you know, smarter instead of...
Well, they always tell you, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go.
That's the name of the game. Lydia Roller is in studio with us. She finished second in the girls' Class A cross-country state meet just a week ago, and her coach Steve Moore with us. We need to get to a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more cross-country and a little football and a little volleyball and who knows what else we may talk
basketball
about.
maybe
some
it's
hoops.
Starting
it's hoops hoops time
it's hey, starting
my one of my favorite times of the year. We'll be back in just a moment, and we'll be hoping to catch up with Carlinville head football coach Chad Easterday coming up here in just a few minutes. We're talking with Lydia Roller, who is the state cross-country second-place finisher this year. Lydia, you know, football players in the off-season do lifting and do this sort of thing. Basketball players, there was an old saying for years, basketball players are made in the summer and not in the wintertime. What do you do year-round? I know you compete in track in the springtime, but what's your regimen year-round as far as just run, or do you go to camps, that sort of thing?
Right now, I'm still training, because I'll do Foot Locker Regionals in a couple weeks, but after that, I'll take a couple weeks off or a couple days off, and then I'll start training for track. And then after track, I do the same. I take a couple days off, and then I start back with cross country.
Do you need downtime, though, to recuperate or to maybe mentally recuperate?
Yeah, it's nice just to have those couple of days just of doing nothing, and then because then, you know, you got to start back up running 40 miles a week.
When it comes to interacting with your teammates, even though you are an individual, there is a team component. What's it like, you know, with your team?
We have a really good team culture. I think we don't have that big of a boys team. They're kind of, I'd say, like, we're all one big team. And then, like, our girls' team, we're all pretty close. We had a team pasta supper two weeks ago before sectionals. And yeah, we're all pretty close, I'd say.
Let you stick around if you can. We've got Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, online. Coach Easterday, good morning, my friend.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great, and we're ready for some exciting football this afternoon. This is going to be quite a test for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, you know, They come from a great conference. You know, they're a good football team. They're well coached. There's only eight of us left, but we could go on for hours on that. But should be a great atmosphere today. Not sure we've got all the lines blow off the field, and we're in the bleachers right now cleaning stuff up. So this is a new first for me.
Not only do you have to coach, but you have to be the grounds crew as well, right?
Oh, no, we're just helping out. So we got some making sure everybody's accounted for today. And, you know, it's going to be conditions are going to be great, I think. I think it's going to be about 29 degrees. It's going to be frozen. There'll be snow on the field. But overall, I think it shouldn't play a factor in the game.
Chad, what's the one thing that the Bullets, you know, what sort of problems are they going to, or challenges they're going to give you today?
You know, they're a lot like us. They're multidimensional. They like to run the football. They can hurt you in the air. But if we get to run, if we try to make them one-dimensional today, that's going to be the goal for us.
Yeah. And have a good week of practice this week.
Always, Terry. We always have a good
I know that. And the place is buzzing, too, I bet. Oh, man.
You know, we had a great, people don't realize coaching staff did the math the other day. Because we're very successful and have been, we've played almost six full seasons here in 3 or 4 years. So our kids love to practice. They know the value of practicing, and that's from top to bottom. So, you know, those types of things, I think, are what makes and builds great programs.
Chad, you're deep into the playoffs now, but you have to remember, once the game starts, it's just another game. You can't be thinking in terms, or have your players thinking in terms of, wow, look where we are now. It's about today, and what have you done for me today?
Yeah, you know, Terry, you're exactly correct. The expectation level is always one game at a time, but as we've talked before, there's nothing wrong with having expectations for kids and for coaches. So I think that's how you get into a form in an atmosphere like today where they can mentally put that stuff out and do their job, so to speak. And hopefully we'll move on to the next problem or the next encounter that we have.
And, Chad, can you break it down? It's actually, you know, on every given play, what have you done for me on this particular play?
Yeah, that's correct. It's about doing your job, no more, no less, and staying focused and not letting the hype get too big or too small, and just play the next down. If you screw it up, play the next down. I mean, that's how we've managed to do what we've done the last couple of years, and hopefully we'll continue to do that.
And that's one of the tough things to teach, isn't it?
You're correct. That's the part that it's hard for kids and hard for parents and hard for coaches to do. And we try to expect more from them than they expect from themselves.
Kickoff at 2:00 this afternoon as the Cavvies entertain the Bullets. We'll have the broadcast live on WSMI FM 106. Chad, good luck, my friend, and go enjoy yourself, because it's going to be a great afternoon for football.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, and
fast game today.
I bet this game will not.
And when I say fast, I mean like fast as far as like the players on the field.
Yeah,
there's going to be a lot of running today.
Yeah, there's going to be there's going to be a plethora of athletes out there today. Even though it's cold and we're, 3 weeks into the season, postseason now, this is a great day for football. This is how, the weather football ought to be played in, I think, as far as playoff football.
Yeah, you can tell Chad's excited about
it. Oh, yeah, he is. And he'll be out there in his shorts. He won't be having pants on, that's for sure.
I wonder if there'll be pants underneath.
That ain't going to happen. We'll have the broadcast 1:30 this afternoon on FM 106.1. And the kickoff at 2:00. We'll also stream it online at WSMIRadio.com. So if you have family and friends that live outside the listening area, they can catch the internet feed of it at WSMIRadio.com. Let's return now to talking a little bit of cross country. Coach Steve Moore, as you continue to learn more and more about the sport, I guess your biggest challenge is making sure that not only Lydia, but other team members can absorb that sort of information. That's probably, being kind of a novice to the sport might be one of the more challenging things for you.
Yeah, and, running's kind of a new thing at Staunton. I credit J.J. Kleiser for getting this 5K, started, and that kind of sparked some things. And, it's like any other sport. You want to start younger and start getting those miles on you and that. And so, we're a pretty young team right now. We have, you know, a couple freshmen and a big group of sophomores, and just continuing to grow as a team and each person individually. It is a challenge and one that we're excited about.
Is there a junior high track program?
There's junior high track, and also we have it's a cross country program, but it's not school affiliated. Mm-hmm. It's more of just kind of parents getting kids there.
A club team, is it?
I guess it's they do compete IESA, but it's not necessarily school funded.
Okay.
And so the parents have done a great job of getting their kids, and we had a big turnout this year in the junior high, and so that's exciting for the future. As she had mentioned, our boys team, you know, a small school like ours, and a lot of small schools around here, but you got soccer going on, a fairly successful program, great coach. You've got a golf program, and football is back now. Hopefully we can sustain that.
Yeah.
And so you're really just competing over a lot of athletes there. On the girls' side, there's not as many sports going on. We've had better numbers on that side.
And Lenny, you have to make a decision to basically stick with running. I mean, you're probably a pretty good athlete and could play many different sports, but this is what you want.
Yeah, I wasn't really good at any other sports. I played volleyball, and I played soccer. I wasn't great, and so going into high school, I did kind of think about doing volleyball and cross country at the same time, but my junior high track coach was like, no, that is stupid. Do not do that. Just run cross country.
For some good advice?
Yeah, it was.
That's good advice. So as you look forward down the line here, you know, only a sophomore in high school, still have a couple years of competition to go. What's beyond high school? What do you hope for beyond high school?
I would love to run in college. I think that would be super cool. I think it would be really neat to run with just a bunch of girls who really love what they do and are really fast. I think that would be super neat.
And running with people who are comparable to you as far as your level of competition is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
That really tends to push you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Right now, I don't really have anyone to run with. My friend always bikes alongside me. He bikes.
Just hop in the car and here we go.
Yeah. So that helped a lot in the summer, especially.
That's great. What's your perfect day as far as running is concerned, temperature-wise, and obviously no wind, but what's comfortable for you?
I like 45 to 50, no humidity, no wind. That's really nice to run in.
And Detweiler Park, is that a good place to compete?
Yeah. It's really nice if there's a little bit of rain a couple days, so then the course isn't real dusty or hard, so that makes it nice.
What would the dust, is that just breathing problems? Or?
Yeah, it's just kind of hard to run in, mm-hmm. I'd say. There are certain spots where there's no grass anymore.
Yeah. And, of course, being hard as a rock is never good.
Yeah.
if you don't have any rain. So I guess the future is bright for the cross-country team for Staunton, boys and girls, maybe?
I hope so.
Yeah. And this is obviously something you enjoy, Steve.
Yeah, I keep saying that breath of fresh air, and I needed to recharge my batteries or something. You know, I did basketball for 12 years, 8 years as head coach, and my kids are now in youth sports, and we could go on and on about the youth sport culture right now, but we'll save that for another show. And so this cross country just offered, it really offered me personally a lot of benefits. I'm in better shape now. I've been in different place mentally, and it's really been, as much as it's been good for the kids, in a selfish way a bit, I've also gained from it.
And what people don't realize, you get athletes maybe for 4 years in high school, and then they're gone. But if you're a coach and you stick around for a few years, there tends to be a grind or kind of a mental fatigue sometimes that sets in. And as you mentioned, a breath of fresh air or change. And baseball players, I think this is very big in baseball. They always talk about just a change of venue when a person gets traded to a different team. Sometimes it's just, helpful when you do something different.
Yeah, and you still have kids coming in each year and maybe a kid or two who, either graduates or chooses something else. And so there is that freshness each year. I've been really blessed to have really good captains. Yeah. And, actually she was a co-captain this year with a couple others. And they just, they did a great job, Mackenzie Sievers and Sonali Jane, of getting student organized practices and taking care of just little things that you don't think about and letting me just coach. So I'm blessed in a lot, not just with the talent, but with the character of the kids that I'm able to coach.
Is it possible that Lydia, you and Coach Moore, you're seeing young people at the junior high level and competing in track and this cross country club, the IESA level, and you walk up to them and say, oh, by the way, we've got a spot for you on the high school team here in another year or two. Is it possible that you've said something like that to these athletes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they take me seriously if I say that.
Oh, I bet they do. Coming from you, I bet they do.
Yeah, I told somebody in one of those five interviews she did right afterwards that she provided a little bit of free marketing for our program.
Yeah.
And you know, young kids, they look up at the high school kids more than you think. And I told her she's got a chance now to, you know, to kind of add to the team and to be a leader. She's already doing that in the way she approaches things, and now I say to be a leader, you can't be cool and you can't be shy, so I'm going to have to get her out of that shyness a bit. Yeah.
It's about reselling the program. I mean, you have to be sold on the program, and you have to be able to sell the program to other people. It's kind of an advertisement type thing, especially if you have some success, you can go in and say, look, you know, you work hard, you can reap the benefits. And, you know, not everybody's going to get an opportunity to compete at a high level, but I think a lot of times we forget, the young people forget that competing, even if you're not, you know, in the top 10 in the state, there's something that builds camaraderie, school pride, and I think a lot of times kids pass up opportunities like that anymore.
Yeah, they do, and you see all kinds of clever sayings on the back of these T-shirts.
Yeah, that's a great thing, you know.
You know, our sports, your sports, punishment. But getting back to what you just said, I saw one: running slow is faster than sitting on the couch, for instance. I mean, just all kinds of, you know, things like that. And we talk a lot about personal improvement, and PRs, personal record, is real important in cross country. And you're really just going out there trying to become a better person, a better version of yourself. And of course, physically, everybody looks at that, but running offers those mental and social and emotional benefits as well.
Which benefits you when you come to get ready to get a job down the line. It's all about the mental toughness and what can you offer a prospective employer. You know, it's building better citizens is what it's all about. That's what athletics is, just a different part of a different classroom. That's all it is.
Right. And in her case, I mean, she's got the potential to go off and be a high level college athlete. But most of the kids I'm coaching or have coached in the past, that's not the case. So like anyone else, just trying to build those finer points, like you said, to be able to be effective in wherever they choose to land in life.
College is starting to contact you at all?
No. I don't really contact you till like your junior year.
Okay. So next year will be the year to do.
There's interest, we'll just say that.
Okay.
People come up like, hey, I can't talk to her, but,
so they're,
you know.
They're talking to you already.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So she'll have a host of suitors, and cross country's a little bit different in the recruiting. It's not like a basketball or volleyball. Right. She just kind of have to see what meets her needs, and then also, you know, who's offering the major she wants to go into, and all that. And I don't want to get ahead of myself
because
she's just a sophomore, but she's put in the work to be able to attract that kind of attention.
Right. And a second place finish this year, and who knows what happens in the future. It doesn't make any difference. You're a fine young lady and a fine athlete and a quality person, we congratulate you on doing absolutely terrific at the state cross country meet, but we absolutely want to congratulate you and the rest of your teammates for just being members of the Staunton cross country team, because that's a pretty special thing as well. So,
thank you.
Yeah. Lydia Roller, second place finisher at the state cross country meet this year in Class 1A, and her head coach, Steve Moore. Thank you guys for coming in. We appreciate it, and maybe we'll get together again next year and do this all over again. That would be kind of neat, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe do something in track.
Yeah.
Never know.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more on Sports Saturday right after these messages. WSMI Sports Saturday again. High school football coming up this afternoon here on FM 106.1 as Carlinville entertains Williamsville in quarterfinal round play. And we'll have pregame coverage for you at 1:30 and streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. Also going on, state volleyball tournament finals at Redbird Arena in Normal, and the 2A state semis yesterday. Pleasant Plains beat Champaign St. Thomas Moore, and Galena beat Nashville. So you've got In the championship game, Pleasant Plains, the Cardinals taking on Galena, so good luck to Pleasant Plains. In the 1A semis, Newark over Grayville, and Hartsburg-Emden, a former state champion in Class 1A, beat Decatur St. Teresa, so Newark and Hartsburg-Emden. That game is probably underway right about now.
What about the athletic program Pleasant Plains has put together?
Oh,
just... Across the board, every sport, boys and girls.
They've kind of become a Williamsville.
They have.
They really have. Yeah.
We're like a T-town further east.
Yeah, that's a good analogy as well. Yeah, they've they've invested in their not only their facilities but the programs themselves and coaches and all that and they've
it's paid off.
They've really made a name for themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Pleasant Plains. In the 3A semifinals, Belleville Altoff beat Chicago Latin. So Altoff will take on Sterling in the 3A championship, and then Downers Grove North will take on Chicago Marist in the 4A state championship game at Red Bird Arena, one of my favorite places to go.
It's a good place.
Of course, I like going for basketball.
That's a Normal?
That's a Normal, yeah. Oh. ISU, so... All right, Dave Jenkins, let's talk about some of the other football matchups today with Williamsville and Carlinville. That's a 6-2 matchup, but I think at this point that doesn't make much difference.
Yeah, after about the second round, we'll get into that a little bit later with the bigger classes, but after the second round, the seedings kind of go out the window.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in 3A, in the southern portion of the bracket, obviously the winner of Carlinville-Williamsville will face the winter of Monticello and Greenville, which is at Greenville, their first home playoff game of the season.
Yeah, the Comets, suffering a late season loss to Carlinville, has regrouped, and boy, the Comets
appear hungry.
they appear hungry and ticked off, and Hutch has got them playing some good football. Of course, they will play host to the number one seed Monticello, the Sages of Monticello, and they traditionally have somebody that can throw the football. Monticello
And they've also bounced back between the northern and southern part of the bracket as well.
Yeah, and they're in the southern part of the bracket. So
right.
In the northern part of the bracket, you've got top-ranked Byron playing host to Lyle and number 6 Monmouth Roseville at number 15 Hersher.
So about that.
Number 15 Hersher.
Yeah. Greenville could be home next week, too, if Carlinville wins today. That'll be at Greenville if Greenville wins.
Yeah.
And then if Williamsville wins today... And Greenville wins, I believe that would be at Williamsville, because they're the better seed, and I think Williamsville has only played one home playoff game so far.
Yeah, so that would be...
It'd be at Williamsville.
At Williamsville. In 2A play, in the southern bracket, you have Moreau Forsyth, a perennial powerhouse and former state champion, playing host to another powerhouse, Tuscola.
Yeah.
And I think if you're looking at matchups in 2A, that's probably the best matchup of the day, Tuscola and Moreau Forsyth.
It is. You look at the St. Teresa Downs Tri-Valley, though, boy. I mean, Tri-Valley's 5-4 this year, but what a good 5-4 team they are. That southern portion of 2A those are four powerhouses right there.
Yeah, it's a darn good chance that you're going to have a state champion come out.
I think the state champion might be coming out of the South this year.
Yeah.
Well, you can't count out like Gibson City, Melvin Sibley, or Sterling Newman, or even Lanark Eastland for that matter.
Yeah, but gosh, just the history with Tuscola, Moreau Forsyth, St. T, the program that Tri-Valley has put together. Mm-hmm. My gosh, that's a loaded, bracket.
I think three of those teams were in the title game last. I think Tri-Valley was in the title game last year.
So.
Moreau Forsyth I know was, and I thought Tuscola got there too.
Very possible.
Actually, Tri-Valley and Tuscola might have been the 1A championship last year.
Yeah. In the northern bracket, Gibson City, Melvin Sibley will take on Sterling Newman Catholic at Sterling, and then Orion will play host to number 3 Lanark Eastland Pearl City. Mm-hmm. That's a 3-2 matchup. In 1A, Concord Triopia at Camp Point Central. That's a 3-2. And then Central A&M plays host to Argentina Orienta, number 1 seed. Central A&M at number 13.
Camp Point's familiar with Triopia, both being in the WIVC conference.
WIVC,
I don't know that they're both in the same conference, because one might be north, one might be south.
Yeah.
But
they play each other.
They do play each other.
They do play each other. So, in the northern bracket, Lena Winslow at Aurora Christian and Dakota at Forest. And so, How about that 4A bracket, Dave?
It's interesting. There's a really interesting game going on in Taylorville this evening.
How about that? You think they'll have a few folks there?
I think so.
On Route 129 there?
Might be.
Or Route 29? Yeah.
It could be similar to what's going to go on in Carlinville this evening, or this afternoon.
Yeah, that Route 29 will be busy with number 4 Rochester at number 1 Taylorville. And it's interesting because Taylorville was in the CS8 at one time. Now they're in the Apollo Conference, and so they get a CS8 opponent.
They played each other in the playoffs last year, too, and Rochester won that game.
Yeah, and Rochester's won, what, 7 out of the last 8?
Yeah, something like that. So they've won on a nice run here. I can't remember. I don't remember if they have 6 or 7 championships.
Yeah. And in the other game in the Southern bracket, 10th-ranked Effingham plays host to Bishop McNamara.
How about that?
McNamara is a number 3 and Effingham a number 10. So.
Yeah, and McNamara is playing up a class from what they were thought to be.
Yeah. Northern part of the bracket in 4A, IC Catholic hosting Marengo, and Richmond Burton is at Cole City. In the 5A bracket, the Highland Bulldogs are on the road.
They're on the road. They are going all the way on the road. That's why it's such a later start time for a playoff game on Saturday.
They're at Joliet Catholic, and that's one of those schools, if you look through the history of high school football, Joliet Catholic has been part of the football legend in high school football in Illinois for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
And then Cahokia, also from the Metro East area, playing at Country Club Hills. That's a number 4 versus number 1. In the northern bracket, Lombard Montini at Evergreen Park and Boiling Catholic at Sterling. In 6A, Washington, which beat SHG on the last play of the game last week, on the 5th anniversary of that tornado that went through Washington.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Because the next week they played each other in the playoffs.
Yeah,
Washington played SHG.
SHG, did a very nice thing. They took supplies and everything and helped out. But Washington is at Crete Moni in a 2-11 matchup. And then Normal Community West at Oaklawn Richards. In the northern bracket, Chicago Phillips at Cary Grove and Antioch at Niles Notre Dame. So, and the 7A bottom half, East St. Louis at Chicago Mount Carmel. They'll play that game at Gately Stadium. St. Charles North at Wheaton Warrendale South. There's another couple of names that are constantly in the playoffs. Simeon, who we normally see in basketball.
Yeah.
They got a number 1 seed.
Yeah, they got the top seed overall.
They are playing LaGrange Park, Nazareth Academy, and Villa Park Willowbrook taking on Batavia. And the Tigers of Edwardsville.
24th seeded Tigers.
On the road again.
They're 24th, I think?
23rd.
23rd, okay.
23rd, yeah.
Still.
A mere 23rd seed this time.
Yes.
They're at Frankfort Lincoln Way East. That's a 6 o'clock game tonight. Loyola Academy at Park Ridge, Maine South. And then Gurney Warren at Chicago Rice and Marist against Homewood Flossmoore.
They have had a tough couple of regular seasons the past 2 years, this year and last year, Edwards will have.
Yeah.
But have more than made up for it with the postseason runs they had, because they were seeded well in the 20s last year and this year, and at least made it to the quarters both times. I don't know if they got to the semis last year or not.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure. But it's funny, with just how Edwardsville is always, when they have to travel, a long distance.
Yeah. Just go to the IHSA page and click on maps.
Yes.
And you'll see in 8A that they've highlighted Chicago, and then there's this line that just goes away from the page, and they don't actually show where it goes.
No.
It just points away from the page, and you might be wondering, well, where is that? That's Edwardsville.
That's Edwardsville. Just keep following the line. That's right.
Keep going.
Tell you what, we need to take a break. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment. Football action this afternoon on WSMI FM 106.1, Carlinville hosting Williamsville in the quarterfinal round of the 3A football playoffs. 2 o'clock kickoff. We'll have pregame coverage about 1:30 for you on WSMI FM 106 and streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. Fighting Illini about ready to get underway at Nebraska.
Yeah.
At 10 o'clock pregame coverage on WAOX 105.3
The Illini have a better record. However, they are like a 20-point underdog
in
this game. Because it's at Nebraska.
It's at Nebraska. And the Illini, with the win last week.
That was a big win.
Very
big win.
It was a big win for the Illini from, I think, on two fronts.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, they just needed a win.
Right.
And number two, Lovie Smith needed a win.
Right. I think his job was safe anyway, heading into next season. But you now are improved from last year. I mean, you can say you've shown improvement.
And they made the comment during the broadcast that, you know, if they, if Ivan and I could pick up two more wins out of the last three games they have, they are bowl eligible. So,
Today is almost a must-win game for them.
Well, yeah.
Because they got Iowa is one of those other three games other than today. And that's
and we
a
forget
tough
how much Northwestern is just a pain in the side of the Alliance.
Right. I would consider Northwestern a winnable game for them, even though Northwestern's probably going to win that division in the Big Ten Conference. But I think that's a gettable game for the Illini. Especially because it's also a rivalry game.
Right.
So really, for the Illini to become bowl eligible, you have to win today, and then you have to beat Northwestern. You pull off the upset against Iowa, fantastic.
But boy, that's not likely.
Don't count on it.
Yeah, just not likely. But being a 20-point underdog today.
That's rough. Well, and Nebraska's played well lately. They got off to a horrible start, but they've played well lately.
You know, there's been teams in the Big Ten this year that have really had horrible starts.
Purdue.
This year. Yeah. I mean, and to, you know, really turn things around two-thirds of the way through the season, halfway through the season, kind of makes you take notice.
And the Cornhuskers have the first-year head coach in Scott Frost, who's looking to prove himself a bit after coaching at Central Florida, leading them to an undefeated season last year, Central Florida. And to lose is, I think they started 0-4 this year, so to lose your first four games of the season, that doesn't sit well in Nebraska. Those people are football crazed.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
Sacrilegious is what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. But they appear to have turned things around at least a little bit. I think they're like 2-7. They're deeper into the season than that, 2-7. So, got off to a bad start, have played better lately. And almost beat Ohio State last week.
Well, almost.
They had a halftime lead.
Yes. But unfortunately, that second half came along.
Yes, it did.
That was the end of it. So, anyway, Illini 10 o'clock on the Ox 105.3. Girls basketball gets underway in Class 1A and 2A next week. And the Greenville Lady Comets are part of the Columbia tournament, which starts off on Monday. Dave, if you want to give us a look at the brackets there.
Yeah, the Greenville actually won't play till Tuesday. Monday's two games. New Athens is playing playing Columbia, and then Triad will be playing Alton Marquette. New Athens Columbia is at 6 o'clock. Triad Marquette will tip off at 7:30 on Tuesday. As we said, Metro East Lutheran will be playing Greenville. That game tips off at 6:00. Then Lebanon will be taking on Waterloo at 7:30 on Tuesday evening.
Girls basketball starting this week. As far as teams in the area to watch, I think Greenville's one of the teams you got to watch. I think Hillsborough's the team you got to watch. Mm-hmm. Of course, Southwestern.
Can never count out Southwestern.
Never count out Southwestern.
Pena might be pretty good.
Pena could be pretty darn good. I think Carlinville is going to have a good season. Gillespie's going to be scrappy as all get out. Staunton's going to have a good team. I think we're going to have a fun season of girls basketball, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that you're going to have a team that win 25 games, because I think they're going to beat up on each other.
Yeah, you might see a lot.
Especially in the South Central Conference.
You might see a lot of teams at the top half of the conference with basically the same records, and they all just beat up on each other.
Yeah, so that all gets underway Monday, and then the boys' 1A and 2A schedule gets underway the following week. And, of course, there is a plethora of turkey tournaments, and
we'll
bring those cover all those for you where our local teams are involved. And it's hard to believe that high school basketball has sneaked up on us.
Yeah.
But it's fun to have high school football still going when we have high school basketball beginning.
So it is. I know.
And we hope that's the case next week.
Right.
As well.
And I know the some of the basketball coaches, the boys basketball coaches, I mean, they're not disappointed that their teams are football teams are in where they are in the playoffs, but I know they'd like to get their players into the gym, like specifically, you know, Carlinville doesn't schedule Thanksgiving tournaments. Right. Greenville, you know, they'd like to get their boys in the gym, and they're playing today, so they're not able to get their season started yet.
Yeah, but, you know, even though you might be a basketball coach, you can't, you know, I don't think anybody really is jealous of the success of
no.
the football team.
They
just,
no.
It's just, you know, it's great for the school. It's great for the communities that are involved. And you know, you get your athletes, let them play. You never know, you know, how far
yeah.
they just might go.
Well, you remember that year Greenville had that, the yeah. Tyler Hutchinson senior year. They were a fantastic football team, lost in the first round of playoffs because they got bumped up to 4A. Well, that means their basketball team, which was senior laden and stacked with talent,
was very good. They
were very good, and they had
yes,
plenty of time to prepare. I think that was the year they went to the sectionals and
sectional finals.
Yeah, right? I think it was. I can't remember who they lost to. I thought Mater Dei might have been.
That's a distinct possibility.
Mater Dei or Breeze Central. I think it was one of the Breeze schools.
Yeah, so
yeah,
but otherwise, you know, it's football players. The schools are not going to complain about their football
no.
teams continuing to win.
No.
So that's,
of course, Nokomis basketball will be good as usual.
Well, Nokomis.
Because it's another year.
Yeah. you know, I think there's going to be a lot of parity in boys basketball
yeah.
around here this year. And again, much like the girls, we're going to have some good teams, but we may not have any 25-win teams. We'll just have, in fact, you know, 20 wins, period.
Yeah.
Because teams will knock each other off. So.
Well, and it might not be a bad thing. I mean, obviously you want to get as many wins as you
sure.
can, but how tough is your schedule?
And I've noticed that some of the schools around here have toughened up their schedules.
Oh, yeah.
They've added some teams, both boys and girls,
right.
have toughened up their schedules where they've added perennial powerhouses. And
it makes a difference.
It does. It does. It really does make a difference, especially once you get late in the season. And you get ready for postseason play.
Yeah, I don't know that Nokomis boys, I don't know that they really play many 1A teams until after the first of the year.
they don't play any until after the first year,
yeah.
So to my knowledge. Although I'd have to go back and look at their schedule. But, of course, they're in that what they used to call stovetop tournament.
I think it still is the stovetop stuffing turkey
host
classic.
This year.
Yeah, doesn't bounce back and forth between Taylorville and is it? But Civic Memorial.
Well, they bounce between all the schools,
okay.
and some of the games are going to be at certain, and not going to necessarily be at Taylorville. You know,
yeah.
Nokomis will have home games, and who is it? Triad and
Granite City
used to be,
and I think they're still
yeah,
in it. Civic yeah. Memorial's in it, Taylorville.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a case where if you start off, you know, oh for the first. Four or five games with Nokomis, well, that's no big deal. It is a big deal, but it's not the end of the world because more often than not we see
they've started 0-8 before and made deep playoff runs
yeah,
the same season.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if there was ever a shining example of, you know, toughening up, playing a tough schedule and knowing what you've got
right.
and what you don't have, I guess maybe more importantly. What you need to work on, Nokomis is a great example.
Usually you'll know by Litchfield tournament time how good Nokomis
yeah,
is going to be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. The Litchfield tournament could be very, very interesting. It could be very tough to see this year.
It might be. It really might be. Gosh, I don't even remember who won it last year. Mount Zion, I think they won it last year. And they're probably poised to be really good again. Taylorville's going to be tough. Just a tough tournament.
It's going to be a brutal tournament this
yes.
year. At Litchfield. But that's in January. We're just now in November, so the season's about ready to start for the girls on Monday, and then a week later, the boys' tournaments, the boys' season swings into action. Most of our local teams are involved in tournament play somewhere.
Most of them, for the boys, most of them are down at Metro East Lutheran
There's
for the Thanksgiving
yeah.
tournament.
Yeah. And we talk about this, and we mentioned every year, the reason they want to get into these Thanksgiving tournaments is because you get you know a handful of games right off the bat within
oh, yeah.
a week, and you know pretty much what you need to work on. Plus, sometimes these are teams that you don't get to see otherwise
mm-hmm.
because you end up playing conference teams frequently, and
or in the case of like say East Alton Wood River and Litchfield, you could play each other even though you don't share the same conference. You could play each other like five times a year.
Yeah, Hillsborough Litchfield. Like,
yeah,
four or five times a year.
Yeah, Litchfield. There's a run there where Litchfield and Hillsborough only scheduled each other once.
Yeah.
In the regular season, and they played each other like three or four times.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy how that works out. Don't forget, we've got high school football coming up this afternoon. Williamsville at Carlinville. Good luck to the Cavaliers this afternoon. And we wish them a successful afternoon against the Bullets of Williamsville. Pregame 1:30, kickoff at 2 o'clock. Tim Mize, Carl DeBarb will have the call from CHS, home of the Carlinville Cavaliers.
Yep.
That's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Saturday. We want to thank Lydia Roller, the second-place finisher in the girls' Class 1A state cross-country meet a week ago, and her head coach, Steve Moore. A couple of really fine folks to talk to, and we wish them the best of luck in the future. And if you can't make it to the ball game this afternoon, we'll have it for you right here on the radio. For Dave Jenkins, for Tom Williams, who produced our broadcast, I'm Terry Toad. Have a great sporting weekend. You're listening to WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois.